gospel. Like, you can find the right thing to plug in. It's like, that's a hole made especially for God, and nothing else is going to fit in it. And without God's purpose and plan for our life, we can become so wrapped up in ourselves that we lose sight of what God wants for us. You know, especially, well, I say especially, but I think this happens in all stages of our life. You know, I look at my boys, and they're in their, well, I don't want to tell you how old they are. But, you know, they're younger, and they're starting their lives and their families. And, you know, it's really easy at that age, I think, you're just focused on, I want to make a good income. I want to be putting money away. It's a lot about money. It's a lot about money. But it's not just that age. Then there's our age where it's like, well, we want to retire. Well, I would like to, but that's a long ways down the road. But, you know, you look at that and you're looking at money. And we spend so much time looking at money. And money is not going to fill that space. We have to really know and understand what our motives are for doing that. You know, we don't want to lose sight of what God wants us to do. He has a plan for you. He has a place for you. He has a purpose for you. And you're the one that needs to do it. And if you don't do it, you know, if you don't do the purpose and the plan that God has for you, it's really easy to say, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. Well, but somebody else has their own plan and their purpose. So then you've got multiple people trying to fill in all of the purposes of God, and it doesn't work that way. That's like in the church. We're meant to function as a body. And if we aren't all functioning, it hurts the body. There are going to be parts where, well, I use this, I'll just say it. I told Bill I wouldn't, but I will. You know, it's like if you're walking around and you have, you know, you're dragging a leg because the leg won't work. So you're walking around like this. Well, that's going to slow you down. So we need every part of the body to be functioning and doing what God created it to do. You know, God has better things for us than striving to gain things. Amen. And that's a lot of what we do. For us, you know, we spent years, well, we pastored a church, and we spent a lot of years with a lot of nothing. So that wasn't so hard, but it still comes with its challenges. You still are focusing on sometimes different things. But God has better things for us. If we go to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 9, it says, Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience and inherit the promises. You know, God has better things planned for us than having a really good bank account. A really good bank account may be in his plans, but not if you're seeking it all on your own. Not if that is the focus of what you're trying to do. It's all about your focus. You know, when the Bible talks about single-mindedness, it really is being single-minded and focusing just on God and his kingdom. That's what we're here for. God didn't put us on earth to have a good time. We might have a good time while we're here, but that wasn't why he put us here. And that's the thing that I think we need to remember is that all of those good things will come. God has good things for us. It's not like we're going to walk around and be sad because we have to be doing God's work all the time. That's not how that works. You'll have happiness that you never had before because you're in his purpose. It just is all about your focus. You know, when I was a young Christian, When I was a young Christian, I was in worship one day. I was like, God, tell me what is my biggest problem? And if you ask him that, he'll tell you that. And you might not want to know it, but what God told me, he's like, you are your own idol. And I was like, oh, I'm only 27 years old. I don't think I can handle that right now. You know, you are your own idol. And so it took me a while to process that. I was young. And so you know what I thought that meant? The first thing I should do was stop wearing makeup. That's how like young in my Christian faith I was, and how naive and shallow, and, you know, quit wearing makeup. Well, I will tell you that if you typically wear makeup and then you stop wearing makeup, it is a humbling experience. Because everywhere you go, people look at you and they're like, are you feeling okay today? You don't look so good. Your color's a little off. It's like, oh man. You know, so it did teach me something, but that wasn't really what I don't think he wanted to teach me. But I will say that word has never left me. That comes back to me and back to me and back to me. And it has made changes in the way that I serve him. It has made changes in the way that I worship. How many of you during worship have ever felt like, well, I want to do this, but, you know, I'm not sure what they're going to think. You know, somebody's going to see me. Somebody's going to think, you know, for a long time, like I didn't want to kneel because somebody would see me kneel. Or I didn't want to kneel two services in a row because somebody would think, oh, no, she's just doing that, you know? And I will tell you now, I don't care what anybody thinks because it's not about me. And if they're looking at me, then their focus is wrong too. You know, it's about me and the way that I worship my God. And that made all the difference in the world for me in worship. And so we have to remember, it's not about us. We don't need to be so concerned about ourselves. How often do you get hung up with, well, I would like to do this, but what are they going to say? Or what are they going to think? Or I will tell you, you know, like this afternoon, all of a sudden, I got this crazy thing going on in my head, and I was like, well, I don't know if I should do this. They've all heard all of this stuff before. I don't need to tell them this. This is just crazy. You know, Pastor Ben could teach them something else. But you know, those thoughts and ideas come through your head, but you have to be faithful to what God tells you to do. Because in the end, only what God thinks about you counts. And my goal is to get there and for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I don't want him to look at me and go, well, did you have a good time? Because that's all I saw you trying to do. Or did you leave a lot of money for your kids? Because that's what your focus was on. You know, and I would like to leave money for my kids. But, you know, kids, it's not about you. You know, it's not. It's about what God wants me to do. And when the boys were at home and they were young, we taught them early on that there are three ways that you respond to us telling you something. And that is, you do it right now, you do it all the way through, and you do it cheerfully and with joy. And so any of those three things, when I would tell them to do something, if I saw any of that lacking, we would have a conversation. So there were a lot of conversations that went on in our house about how you respond to things that you're told to do. While I was working on this, I was thinking, well, how do we respond when God tells us to do something? Do we do it right now? Do we do it all the way through? Do we do it with joy? I've had times where God has told me to do something, I'm like, oh, all right, well, I don't want to do that, but you told me, so I'll do it. And it's totally wrong. You miss the blessing when you do it that way. But so, you know, are we responding that way to God? You know, or are we saying, well, I'm not really comfortable doing that. How many of you have ever thought that? I'm not really comfortable doing that. That's kind of out of my circle. I don't really like to go out of my circle. I am definitely an I don't like to go out of my circle person. I don't. I don't even like to go to stores that I haven't been to. I mean, I am not adventurous. I very much like to be in my safe place, but that is not where God wants you to be. Because in your safe place, you don't have to rely on him for anything. And he's going to stretch you and he's going to move you. And we can't stay in our comfortable place. The Bible is full of people who were stretched and stretched. And I mean, think about Moses. Moses didn't want to do what he was told to do. He didn't even want to talk. He didn't even want to talk. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, didn't think he had the words to be able to talk. Like, come on. I think he could have done it. I'm pretty sure. But he didn't want to, you know, he was willing to move so far, but not all the way. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that way. You know, what if with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, was Jesus supposed to talk to that woman according to society's rules? No, he was not. But he did. Where do we let society stop us? Where do we let it make a line for us that we say, well, I don't really want to cross that line? Because there are people on the other side of that line who need Jesus. And if you see those people through that eyes of what Jesus and the way he sees them, you will be willing to do that. You will be willing to go out and to make a difference in their lives. And think about this. Okay, after Jesus died and you have the disciples and they're all Jewish, did they have to go to the Gentiles? Well, thank God that they did, or we wouldn't be here. What would we be doing? You know, and that was a huge thing. Think about the struggle and everything with Peter going to Cornelius's house. That was a big deal. Are we willing to do something like that, to make that kind of a risk, to take that kind of a risk in our lives? You know, here's a little example. Okay, compared to Peter going to Cornelius's house, this is nothing, but it's what I've got. So, us going to the assisted living home when we do that. I did that for the kids. Would I have done that on my own for me? I'll be honest and I will tell you, no, I wouldn't have, because it's a different place, it's different people. I probably wouldn't have done that. But I started thinking not about me, I started thinking about the kids and what I want to see the kids learn at an early age. And then I started thinking about the residents in the home and being a blessing to them, because I knew that this would bless the kids, I knew it would bless the residents. And so I then had to make the choice, what am I going to do about that? Sometimes we have good ideas and then we never act on them. But I did in this situation, and I am so glad, because when you see the kids, I wish you guys could see their faces when we go in and see when they come and ask me, are we going back? Because they are so touched and it makes such a difference for them. You guys saw Jackson up here on Sunday morning. Jackson is a thinker, and when we left there, he is a thinker. And when he left there, he wasn't too excited about it. But I told him, I'm like, but Jackson, think about the difference that you made for them. Think about the impact that you had on Bob because he likes hockey. And you were able to share with him about hockey. And I believe, because I'm pretty sure nobody you can't coerce Jackson into doing things, I don't think. So nobody forced Jackson into doing that. He came in here on Sunday morning and he wanted to share with you guys something because it touched him. And that's something that I want the kids to learn at an early age. You know, there are things outside of you. Because if we leave the kids to themselves, I'm telling you, all they're going to think and talk about is video games. That's it. But there's a world outside of that. And you know, there are people who feel like they don't know if God will love them. They don't know if maybe they're so far gone that God can't reach them. And we're here to show them that God can. God can reach them, and he has a purpose for them. You know, when we were, we had our small group, we had a gentleman that came up to us one evening after the small group, and he was talking to Bill and I, and he said, You know, we spend a lot of time, well, I talk about kids all the time, you know, and talk about what we're doing with the kids and the outreaches. And, you know, I just talk about kids all the time. But he asked me, he's like, who's reaching out to the older population? There are people that are older who don't know Jesus, and they need to know Jesus. And who's doing that? And my first thought was, how about you? You know, I think I said that to him. Well, how about you? If that's on your heart, that would be a really good thing to share. You know who you're talking about. You know who those people are. So how about you just take a step and witness to them, start ministering to them, start showing them the love of Jesus. And then he started to think about it, and he was like, oh, like, you don't have to be special to do this. You just have to be saved. You just have to know Jesus. You have a story with Jesus, and if you share that and that he loves you, that's all you need. You don't have to know your Bible inside out. You just have to be willing. God is just looking for people who are willing. And so, you know, take a minute, and what I want you to think about is and not for a long time, we're just going to do this for a minute. Think about your life and what it was like before Jesus. What was your life like before Jesus came into your life? Was it all perfect sunshine and roses, and you were just, you know, the little good person that never did anything wrong? Probably not. You know, we don't want to dwell in the past, but every once in a while, it's good to remember where you came from. If nothing else, so you can be grateful for where you are now, and so you can make a difference in somebody else's life. Because sometimes we forget how to relate to people who don't know Jesus. We are in church so much and with other Christians that we forget. You know, think about the words that you use. Would you know, if we were having a conversation, we could be talking about something and somebody might not even really understand, if they're not saved and haven't been around church, what we're even talking about. Because we have our own little language. We use words that they don't understand. So sometimes take the time, and we, like I said, don't dwell on what your life was like before Jesus, because it was not important. But think about where you were in to help you relate to other people, to help you relate to them. You know, we all came from a place of brokenness. I mean, I was broken. I was messed up. I don't want to tell you all of the bad things about me before I knew Jesus. And I'm guessing that that's how most of us are. You know, that's something that we, it's part of our life, but it's gone and it's buried and it's dead and we don't care anymore, right? But, you know, there are people who need to know that. Sometimes you need to be able to share that with people. If nothing else, so that they know that there is hope. You know, there is the good news of Jesus. And sometimes people just need a little hope. They just need to know that God loves them and that they have a purpose. And that, you know, like I said, sometimes we just have to be able to relate to them. And then, like individuals, a church can sometimes become self-focused. As a group, the church can. And it's so easy, and I feel like I can say all this stuff. So it's so easy for a church to sometimes become focused on numbers, on money, on programs, on buildings. And is that any of that what the church is here for? No, it's not. Church isn't a business. I mean, it functions sort of like one, but that's not our focus. And it's one of the things that I love about our church, is that it's not the focus. Church is here to equip and encourage the saints. For what purpose? To go out and share the love of Jesus. I seriously did not throw anything. I don't know what that was, but it sounded like I threw something. I checked my rings. You know, it's to go out and to share Jesus with other people, bring them in so that they can be equipped and encouraged and go out and bring in more people, right? That's what the church is here for. It's not here to come in on Sunday and make us feel better, although we do feel better when we're here, but it's not that. It's not just for you to show up once a week so you can do your duty and then call it good. That's not what the church is for. We should be leaving here like, I have a hard time. I will tell you, Pastor Ben, that on Wednesday nights, I do not sleep well. I can just count on it. I don't. I'm like all hyped up from church, and I'm telling Bill, I talked to Bill all the way home, and then I'm telling him, oh man, I am so hyped up. How am I going to sleep? You know, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. We should leave church and we should be so excited and hyped up and just be like ready to hit the streets. So maybe that's what we should do on Wednesday nights. We have church and then we go hit the streets till about midnight. Then I guarantee I would be ready to sleep. So that's what the church is here for. And another thing that I think we have to be careful of, I don't see it here, but I think we have to be careful of not categorizing people and targeting the people that we think are going to be most beneficial for the church. Because churches, I've seen churches who tend to do that. It's like, oh, well, you know, they have money. They would be beneficial. Or I know that they've done this before in another church, and so they would be really handy to have around here. That's not our focus. Our goal is not to build the best and strongest church from without. We should be doing that from within. We should be building our own people and getting them to work and fulfill the purpose that God has for them in the body. So let's not categorize people, because if we do, there's a whole section of society that we're not going to go to. And when and that's not what we want. I mean, I was the kind of little girl who brought home every stray animal I ever found. Like the dogs, I would bring home dogs and they would kill the chickens and I would be in trouble. You know, it was just the way, it's just the way my brain thinks. So where do I want to go in the city? I want to go to the poorest area and I want to reach out to all the kids in that area. That's my heart. Where's your heart? You know, that's just where I see me. I don't see me in, you know, like upper class, fancy people. I can't say I wouldn't go, because if God told me to go, I would have to go cheerfully, but I would stick out like a sore thumb there. You know, it's like, it's just not me. So I guess what I'm saying is we can't focus on what we think our return on investment would be for the kingdom on what we're doing. Not with the church's money, not with our time. It's not about that. It's about lives being saved, and that is our return. That's how the kingdom works. And if you look at Luke 14, okay, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, then he said to them, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, when I was working on this, I was actually looking at some verses somewhere else on this page, and I'm reading through, and I saw those verses, and it was like I had never seen them before. And then I sat there, and I had tears dropping on my page, because everything that I feel is right there. It's right there. We don't. And the whole point that I was trying to make is right there in those three verses. This is what we need to do. We need to be inviting the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, all those who can't repay us. Because it's not about that. It's about their lives. And you know, when we bring them in, and I know Pastor Ben has said this before, it's going to be messy. When I have kids that come into the kids' class and they haven't been in church, I always know I need extra hands. I'm going to need somebody else to help me because they don't know what to do. Typically, the first Sunday is okay because they're kind of like, what's going on? You know, they're kind of quiet. But the next week, once they've gotten to be a little bit comfortable and some of the kids have talked to them, it's like wild time. You know, and we're having prayer time and they're talking and they're running around and you're just like, it's like herding cats sometimes, trying to get those kids in there to calm down. And you get one that's going like that, and then the normal class that I have, and they all know what's going on, then they start to, it's like, no, what's going on here? It gets all kinds of messy. That's what I'm saying. It gets all kinds of messy. But we can't be afraid of that. We can't be afraid of that. We can't look at that and go, oh, man, another new person. That's not the right attitude. We need to see it and say, oh, praise God, we're going to have a mess and it's going to be good. Right? Now, Visible Church, our church has been receiving some really strong and I think specific words recently, especially on Wednesdays. And what I'm talking about is we've been getting lots of stuff, lots of teaching, but just words where God's Spirit is just moving in us and showing us things and sharing things and, you know, a lot of things about unity, about becoming mighty men of God, about sowing, about using our time wisely, about not growing weary and doing good. And I really believe that God is preparing us for some big things. But I feel like God was saying to me, we need to pay careful attention to the words that he's giving us. We can't be content to sit back and let others do the work. There's going to be work involved. And we can't sit back. The whole body has to function for us to do this. And we need to seek him and search our hearts and be honest with ourselves about where we are and what he wants us to do. And when you get really honest with God about where you are, you're going to see how much farther he has for you to go. You know, we think, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've thought, yep, this is it. I have got it. This is what it all is. This is what it's about. I'm good. It doesn't work that way. I don't think we ever get to that point. I don't think you ever get to the point where you know it all, you've got it all, you're good, you can just sit back and coast. It's not how the Christian life works. And there are things that we need to do, and we need to be honest with ourselves, let him show us where we are, what he wants us to do, and how can we refuse anything that he asks for all that he has done for us and all the love that he has for us. How can we refuse him? Well, now I'm going to tell you how we can refuse him after I got everybody to go, yeah. So the last part of that word that I had was seeing a burning bush, a bush that burned but was not consumed, right? When Bill and I first started coming to Wisconsin, well, we were traveling back and forth from Missouri. We lived in Missouri. And our two-week schedule was this. We traveled for 5 days, we were home for nine. We traveled for five, we were home for nine. We traveled for five, we were home for nine. This went on for like a year and a half. Traveled for five, we were home for nine. By the grace of God, we were a homeschool family, or it would never have worked. The kids did schoolwork in the back of the van on the way up here. Once we started driving during the day, Before that, we would drive during the night. We would drive on Thursday night. We would get here Friday morning, like around 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I was all kinds of crabby because I can't sleep when somebody else is driving. So I'm awake all night, and I was not a very happy camper. But everybody dealt with it just fine. Okay, so we would get here Friday morning. We would do a service Friday night. We would do a service Saturday morning, sometimes Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. We would go to a church on Sunday somewhere, and then we would go back to Missouri. That was when it first started. And then when Bill leaned over to me one Sunday and said, I think we need to go every other week. And notice Bill asks me those kind of questions in church during worship. So, and he's like, I think this is what we need to do. I'm like, okay, well, we can't drive overnight that much. I can't do that. So we started traveling during the day. So it was 5 days travel, 9 days home. That was our 2-week schedule. But you know what? Well, once we got beyond the night traveling, it was not a burden. It wasn't a burden, not for us, not for the boys. God's grace was in it, and we were so focused on this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be, you know, in Wisconsin. This is what we're doing. We were so single-minded and focused, and God's grace was all over it. All over it. It was not hard. I look at it now. Oh, and we're sleeping in a building on an air mattress on the floor. You know, it was a cold building. There was nothing pleasant about it. There just wasn't. But we were just happy and excited. And, you know, God's grace, like I said, was all over it. Then later, years later, all of a sudden, I started getting homesick. And I wanted to be where my family was. And as soon as that happened, everything was hard. Everything was hard. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to live here. I didn't like the weather. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the place. I didn't like anything about it. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to go home. Was I still doing ministry work? Yep. Were people still being blessed? Yep. Was I being blessed? No. I didn't get any of the blessing for years from that. And that was all because my focus was all on me. It was all on what everything was going to cost me. You know, count the cost. Somebody told me one time, I love church people, but sometimes they give really bad advice. You know, it's like, you need to count the cost. Well, you start counting that does not mean what you think it means. You start counting the cost to yourself, and then all you're going to think about is yourself and how it's taking everything that you love away. You know, I know family is important, but family is not the number one thing in your life. Well, it shouldn't be. For a lot of people, it is. And I love my family, and would I love to be there with them? I would. All of my vacation time at work is spent going to see my family. And somebody asked me, don't you ever just take a week and go somewhere warm in the winter? Well, let me tell you, no, I don't. And we spend a lot of holidays where it's the two of us, and we just invite people to come over because it's just the two of us. But what God wants is more important. And I really thought when the church closed down, that's like 5 years ago, right? Doesn't seem that long. That we were going to, as soon as that sold, we were out of here. We were heading to Missouri. That was my plan. I am out of Dodge. I am out of here. You're never going to see me in Wisconsin again. But that's not what God wanted. You know, that church building took a long time to sell. And by the time it sold, I had already told Bill, I don't want to go back to Missouri. I love our church. It's where God put us. It's where God has placed us. And I can't leave here. I just can't. And why? Because God has a place for us. And this is it. But so, you know, going back to that bush that didn't burn and it wasn't consumed, I would maintain that's because the bush's focus wasn't on itself. It's because God's fire was burning and the bush was just an instrument, like a vessel, just a thing where God's fire could show, where it could burn. And we can be that way. You know, we don't have to. You hear about church people getting burned out. You don't get burned out if you don't focus on yourself. If you keep your focus on God, you are not going to get burned out. Because again, how? With all that he has done for us. There's a quote that our pastor used to use a lot. I guess he used it a lot. I don't know. It popped in my head the other day, and Bill said Pastor Brian used to use it. But it's, most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with the song still in them, by Henry David Thoreau. I don't want to be one of those people. When I go to the grave, I don't want there to be anything left in me. I believe that that's what we all want. Isn't that what we all want? When we go to the grave, I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of people will say, you're not going to be on your deathbed and say, I spent too much time with my family. I was thinking about that today. And I was thinking, you could say that. You could get to the end of your life and realize, I did not do for God what I was supposed to do because I spent too much time with my family. And that's hard. That's a hard word. But it could be. You know, when I am ready to go, I just want to know that I gave everything for the kingdom. I want it to all be left for him. I don't care about, like I said, I don't care about things. I've told Bill, I can live in a little two-room house. I don't care. I just want to work for the kingdom. I just want to see souls saved. I just want people to come to know Jesus because of all that he has done in me. So that's my prayer for you guys. That's my hope. That's what I'm hoping to encourage you to seek, is to want to live that life. You know, to really find your place in the body and to do it. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because you want to, because of God, because of all that he's done for us. There is, like I said, you're not your own. You're not your own. You've been purchased. You've been bought with a price, and you're his. So then anything that you do outside of his will, well, that's rebellion, and that all gets ugly. So now I'm going to tell you about something that's going on here tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I got this email this afternoon that prayer time for tomorrow is usually in the morning, and I can't go because it's in the morning and I'm at work. But tomorrow night, I don't know why, it's at 6 o'clock. And this is what struck me in Trisha's email. It said, we need people to pray for and labor with God to see his kingdom rooted, established, and released in our church and in our city. And I was like, hot dog, that is like exactly what I'm going to be teaching on. That's what we need. That's what we need. And I told Trish earlier, it's like, I don't consider myself an intercessor. And then she went on to tell me a lesson about how there aren't intercessors, we're just called to intercede. And it was a really good little short lesson that she gave me. So anyway, I just want to encourage you. You know, that's an area, even in the church, that I would consider outside of my circle. But that doesn't mean I can't go. That doesn't mean I can't participate. It doesn't mean that maybe me being there is exactly where God wants me to be tomorrow night. So think about that. Think about the decisions that you make. We make decisions all day long, and all day long we make decisions based on, is this good for me or is this not good for me? Do I want to do this or do I not? Is this going to make me happy or is it not? all about focus. It's all about your focus. Keep your focus on God and His kingdom. For one, you're not going to get burned out. And you're going to live a life and you're going to be so happy. I am telling you, when Steve on Sunday morning told me that he realized Saturday when we were at that assisted living home that it wasn't about him. He's like, all of a sudden I realized it's not about me. And I could have hugged you. I was like so excited. I was like, that's it. That's it. It's not about us. It is not about us. We are so taught to think everything about how it affects us. And that's the wrong teaching. It's wrong. It's not about us. It's about everybody else. It really is about everybody but you. So, yeah, I'm pretty much done. Except I want to pray for you guys. Because I want us, this is what I see. Oh, no, I don't think I'm done. Am I done? I feel like I left something out, but maybe not. Nope, I must be done. See, I get going and I don't even know where I am. Plus, my head is still kind of... All right, let's pray. God, I just thank you and give you praise for this time, for this church, God, for the teaching that comes from this place that... it is about you. It's all about you. And it's about people who need to know you, Father. And I pray that you work in our hearts, that you show each one of us where we are and where we need to go, to show us what function, what part in the body we have to play, God, and that you would help us to encourage each other to walk that out, to cheer each other on to great things for you, Father God. You have given everything for us. Your love for us, we don't even understand or realize how much it is. We don't know. I just pray that you help us to see more and more of that love. God, of the grace that you have for us in our lives, Father, that you have a purpose and a plan for us, and that our greatest joy in life is to walk out that purpose and plan. God, that you can burn through us brightly, that you can just show the world your goodness and your love through us, that we can take that to a world that's hurting and lost and show them that there is hope in you. God, I pray that you just continue to show us, God, that you help us to be strong in this church, that you help the body to function the way that you created it to, that we can go out, that we can be visible. We don't want to stay to ourselves. We want to go out. And God, I just pray that you give everyone here courage. And I pray that you stretch them. You stretch me, they should be stretched. We should all be stretched to meet your desired purpose in our lives. God, there is so much of you, so much to you, so much goodness and kindness. And God, I pray that we just show that everywhere that we go. Everywhere that we go, God, that we can touch people with your love. I thank you and I praise you for this. Pray that you continue to be with the kids at camp, God, that they come back all fired up for you, God, and ready to just take on the world. God, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.